I'm Stefan Yah. Thank you very much for joining me today on this broadcast around the end of the Roman year, the beginning of the new, but it doesn't mean anything to you or me, does it? First Kings and Second Kings today, as much as we can cover in about an hour's time, from First Kings chapter 19, 18, which is similar to Romans 11, and I kept telling you that it was in Thessalonians here and there on the broadcast, but no, it's in Romans 11, and this is it. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. That was in 1 Kings 19, 18, and Romans 11, 1 through 4. At any one given time, throughout the centuries, at any one given time, I speculate that there's 7,000 believers of Israelites, of true believers, who have not bowed their knees to Baal. Of course, we're all in different parts of our growth from time to time. Also in this same chapter, as Ahab told Jezebel and all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword, we read in 19 verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Yah, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And the next verse, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then a messenger touched him, and he said unto him, arise and eat. By the way, this is the King James, except I just corrected that word angel and turned it to its more proper rendition of messenger. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the messenger of Yahweh, so I changed L-O-R-D to its proper rendition from Y-H-V-H, the messenger of Yahweh came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drank and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Yahweh. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou, Eliah, or Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. So you see here that jealousy can be a good thing, especially if a husband is jealous for his wife and is concerned for her. And vice versa, that she's concerned for him. She wants him to go out every day into the world, if he has to, and wear those tzitzis, so that others will know that he's already taken. Yes, we are married. We are the bride of Messiah, married, or at least betrothed, I should say, unto Yahuwah and unto Yahusha, his son. We are betrothed unto Yahweh in that wedding covenant. And we have our garments of virginity that we wear. That is the tallit with the tzitzis on there, found in Deuteronomy 22, if I'm correct. So, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Eliah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. He wrapped his face in his tzitzi. And went out, and if I am correct there, and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Eliah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yahweh of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. That sounds like Matthew probably the end of the book of Matthew when Messiah is speaking there, that the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down the altars, slain the prophets with a sword, and then Eliyahu speaking here again, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yahweh said unto them, go return unto the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint, I can't see really well from here, Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, that was spelled J-E-H-U, but it should be Jehu or Yahu, Yahu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphar of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. And then we are taking a little tour here to go quickly through the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 20 now, verse 26. And here's a significant, it doesn't have anything to do with what I was just reading about Eliyahu there with his anointed ministry, but here's another truth in verse 26. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present. Well, the turn of the year, the word there, the Hebrew word, would be tikufa, the turn of the year. And that has a lot to do, very important, with determining our calendar that Yahweh gave us, calendar that is in the constellation, the sun and the moon, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. So just very briefly on that, I'm not going to get into that deeply because we have already done that in another place. Stefan Yah speaking here for you on behalf of all who have joined us here on YahvehYahweh.name. And we want to salute those of you out there in South Africa and in New Jersey, way up a little bit north from Africa there, to all the brethren and sistern around the world who have joined us today. And there's, let's see, how many are there here? About 140 present from one time or another during the week. So that's a good gathering. I hear from one or two of you occasionally, but haven't heard from you in a long time, so maybe drop me a line there. I'm doing a overview of 2 Kings. And let's see if we can go back here to, or go ahead rather, is what I mean when I said go back. Go back into the next page, I guess. 2 Kings chapter 2, 16, and, or 15. The messenger of Yahweh said unto Eliyahu, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, Baal-zebub, the Ekron, Elohim, is it not because there is no mighty one in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down. And so he died according to the word of Yahweh. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Yes, they are. 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. It came to pass when Yahweh would take up Eliyahu into heaven by a whirlwind, that Eliyahu went with Elisha from Gilgal. I can read, even though my eyes are tired and old. I actually can read. It's just that my lips don't follow what I read here. And Eliyahu said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for Yahweh has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as Yahweh liveth, as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And verse 4, Eliah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for Yahweh has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as Yahweh liveth, as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And verse 9 now. Chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Eliah, or Elijah, said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I take away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. A chariot of fire and horses of fire. So whether those were symbolic or the word horse there means something else, that only they could describe that in, by using the word horses, is beyond anybody's reckoning or understanding. A chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Eliah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And I'm putting the accent on the Yah in Eliah, even though in the King James it says to put it on the second syllable, like Eliah. It should actually be Eliah, to emphasize that our Father's name is in our name too. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my Father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them, or tore them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Eliah that fell upon them, and or the tzitzi, perhaps. Sorry, I didn't look that up for you. And went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle, the tzitzi of Eliah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is Yahweh, the mighty one of Eliah? When he also had smitten the waters, they departed hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Oh, I got to look that up now. 2 Kings 2, and this word mantle here, let's see exactly if we can. Oh, excuse me. Well, here it is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13, about that English word mantle, which means adareth in Hebrew, reading from right to left. The feminine of Hebrew 1:17, wide, large, figuratively powerful, excellent, famous, gallant, goodly, mighty-like, noble, principal, and worthy. So a great, excellent, what? A wide dress, also the same as garment, glory, goodly, mantle, robe. From Hebrew 1:45, Eder. Amplitude, that is, a mantle, also figuratively splendor, goodly robe. So I say that's the talit, the robe. What else would he have, since it is commanded in Scripture to have a talit, that must be what he had on properly? In his Hebrew attire, okay? It's a large robe. What kind of robe would that be? Well, that's the talit with the tzitzis, the four tzitzis attached to it. And he took the mantle of Eliah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is Yahweh, the sovereign of Eliah? And when he also had written the waters, or rather smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. That's something interesting there. To note, verse 21, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith Yahweh, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children, or young men, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of Yahweh. So he cursed the children, these rebellious teenage males. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tore 42 children. The bears killed 42 children. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Now there's going to be many doubters and atheists and agnostics who would doubt that second chapter of 2 Kings about one bear killing 42 teenage boys. But we can look through the news and through history, and those who have seen this in Africa, where one wild animal could destroy a lot and kill a lot of people too. And why should we doubt the word? I think what we should doubt is me. I should doubt myself, my own doubts. I'm going to put more faith in Yahweh's word than I am in my doubts. Get rid of those doubts, because those are doubtful. My doubts are doubtful, okay? You see what I'm saying? We don't want to put too much faith in our own speculations. It may not help anybody. You know, we've got enough problems without casting these silly doubts around. You know, what about this? What about that? There was a song. Oh, boy. Where are my notes today? I don't know. Let's see if I can find that. But Bing Crosby sang a song, It Ain't Necessarily So, and they doubted in the song about six things that were in Scripture, including the age of the patriarchs, if some of them lived to be 900 years old. So they cast doubt upon that, doubt upon that. Now let me get my mind right here, that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 nights and 3 days. So they cast doubt upon those truths that are written in Scripture. But all we need to do is just believe the word and doubt our doubts. And don't believe everything else that we hear, especially if it's in some secular song that says it isn't necessarily so. Well, why? And then they turned around, the same singer, Bing Crosby of the 1940-50 era from Spokane, Washington, he was lifting the Scriptures up then and trying to put faith in Yahweh's word. So that's a double-minded person, double-tongued person there. But rest his soul, anyway. He didn't know any better. Talks about the new moons in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, It shall be well. And by the way, as we look up the word new moon there, it is not Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. It is new moon. How about that, huh? Let's look up in quick verse here and see if that's true or not. 2 Kings chapter 4 should come up rather quickly here for me. All right, chapter 4. Good. And then I click on the 23rd sentence. Actually, I want to go to the Strong's Hebrew and Greek Dictionary, so I'll click over there. And no, I don't want the Hebrew words. I don't want the Hebrew lexicon. There it is, the King James Version. There we go, with all the Hebrew numbers in there. Okay, we have chapter 4, 23 here. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon, so that's Hebrew 23:20, new moon. Kodesh, or K-H-O-D-E-S-H, or an alternative spelling is C-H-O-D-E-S-H. Excuse me. From 23:18, Kodesh, a primitive root to be new, causatively to rebuild, renew, and repair. So Yahweh is renewing and repairing our hearts and our soul, our mind. as we obey and keep these new moons. It doesn't say Yom Teruah here. Okay, now I need to go back and fix that. Where are we? 2 Kings chapter 4, 23, and he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon, Hebrew 23:20. Once again, it's Kodesh, or not Kadosh, but Kodesh. It's neither new moon nor Sabbath, Hebrew 76:76, and that word is Shabbath, intensive, intermission, that is, specifically the Sabbath, and every Sabbath. 76:76, Hebrew word there. Okay, that's, so it was neither new moon nor Sabbath, and she said, It shall be well. And she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except that I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of Yahweh, H4430, Elohim, plural of 433, gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically of the supreme God, it says, or supreme mighty one, I would say. Occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates, and sometimes as a superlative. Messengers, it says here angels, but I'll substitute the word, the proper word, messengers. Exceeding God, or mighty ones. Very great, or judges, or mighty. So there it is. Okay, 2 Kings 4, back there to where we left off. To Mount Carmel, it came to pass when the man of Yahweh, or Hebrew 4:30, saw afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. And let me one more time look at H4:30. Elohim. That's the word Elohim there. Okay, now I can kind of put that away from now. Okay, kind of collapse these categories and, whoa, okay. We're back on again, huh? Three nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was in the heart of the earth. Okay, as we are talking about that earlier, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and Yahweh was in the heart of the earth from 14th of Aviv to the 17th. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8, And it was so when Elisha, the man of Yahweh, or the man of Elohim, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away, and he said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yahweh, his sovereign, or Elohim, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Also see Mark 16:16. But, okay, now we have a rakatz here, dipping in the Jordan. So go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now this is not the word that most people use there, mikveh. No, it's that word mikveh is used about 2 or 3 times in Scripture, but it's either rakatz or tubal. No, mikveh is not ordinarily used at all. But regarding that immersion, tubal or rakatz, it is to be immersed in water, to be immersed, not be sprinkled with a tiny little sprinkle, not with necessarily just a tiny little water, but to be immersed symbolically and figuratively and allegorically and physically. He'd be immersed in the water. So many Baptists resist baptism or being immersed. So many of them these days in the neo-evangelical movement, the evangelifish, they refuse to be immersed. They say that, well, that's works. Man is doing works. No, Messiah is baptizing or immersing you or rakats or tabaling you. No, Messiah is doing that, not man, and it's to be obeyed. We're to follow in Messiah's steps. He was immersed by Yochanan the immerser, as the apostle Shaul or Paul was immersed. So we're to be immersed. Back in 2 Kings 5:12, are not Abana and Parpar rivers of Damascus? Are they not better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Yes, we make up our own man-made thoughts. Well, he said to do it this way, but that's not as good as my way. I think I'll go over and be immersed in Abana, Parpar, and be assured that Yahweh is with you today, and that his word is going forth as we speak, and as you speak, as you pray, and as you minister to others, in what humongous way you might do it, or in what trivial ways it would seem to you that Yahweh's word is going out, and that your life has meant something in this world, that you, whoever you are, no matter how small you think you are, you've made a big difference in everybody else's life around you. Throughout your entire lifetime, you say, well, I haven't done anything great in 20 years. You know, I just comb my hair and get up and put one pant leg on at a time like everybody else, like every other man, that is. And you actually do make a big difference, though, that if you weren't here, the world would not be the same. It wouldn't be as wonderful as it is without you. Yes, Yahweh says that, that you're very special, not because of you, but because of what he did for you and because what he's making you into his image. You've drawn near for the full profession of faith. That's true. 2 Kings 5:13, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet has bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? And that word is tabal, by the way. T-A-B-E-B-A-L. Tabal? Tabal, yes. Hebrew word 2081. Also see Mark 16:16 regarding to be immersed. Then he went down and so he obeyed after all. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, saying to the man of the sovereign Elohim, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of Yahweh, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth but in Israel. Oh, what a tiny country, about the size of Maryland or something, or the province. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Take a blessing, would you today? Would you take a blessing? But he said, as Yahweh liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Oh, what interesting stories here. 2 Kings 5, verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of Yahweh, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as Yahweh liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1,500 ounces, or a talent of silver, and 2 changes of garments. And verse 25, he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servants went know whither. Whither? But just a minute here. Let's look up in the companion reference here. Whither? I know what it means. Whither? W-H. Well, they didn't include that word either. Oh, well. So over there, okay, would possibly be, okay, where are we again? Yeah, that's not that important. And verse 26, and he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow, as white as snow. Well, you could look up a lot of those words, like the word white there, that's in italics. But look it up anyway in your concordance or your software. And I recommended a moment ago the Quick Verse by E5 Group, E-5. Not all of their ministry, I don't recommend at all, but I do recommend the software that gives you the King James Version and the concordance and the Hebrew lexicon, the Greek lexicon, all that there. 2 Kings chapter 6 is next. I know, it's going to be a lot of studying there for us. 2 Kings chapter 6, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too small or too straight for us, straight. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go you. 5. As one was falling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of Yahweh said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim, or float. Let's also look in the Hebrew version of the scriptures here, called Hallelujah Scriptures. We might also look in the ISR, if we don't get far enough with Hallelujah Scriptures. Doing a concise overview. 2 Kings 9:21, and Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready, and Joram king of Israel and Ahaziah king of Judah went out, each in his chariot, and went out against Jehu and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace? Is it shalom, Jehu? And he answered, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of the mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? We see that about Jezebel, that she seduced many. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. So it says here, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? That's the one point I wanted to bring out here in this entire chapter. Verse 29, in the 11th year of Joram the king of Ahab began Ahaziah to reign over Yehuda. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, and teared her head, and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink, and said, go see now this cursed woman, and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. And so we'll probably edit some of this out here for those of you who are not really into really hardcore that much at this point. You might be at supper or something. Verse 37, the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. And that's the end of that chapter, of 2 Kings chapter 9. We'll read more about Jehu here in the next chapter, 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 13. And this is quite interesting. Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, said, "Who are you?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah. We go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." And making a highlight there with my pen. And he said, "Take them alive," that they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men. Neither left he any of them. When he was departed thence, he lit on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is with thy heart?" By the way, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? That's in Jeremiah 17. And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thy hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. He said, "Come with me, and see my zeal for Yahweh." For they made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, until he had destroyed him, according to the saying of Yahweh, which he spake to Elijah, back in chapter 9. Jehu gathered all the people together, and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little. Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much." He's going to serve the Elohim Baal there. And even to this day, in the year 2015, in the year 2015, the people serve Baal. Even Christians, even the neo-evangelicals serve Baal. If we look up the word Baal, it says Lord. That's even in the Strong's Concordance. Even though if you look up the word Lord, then Mr. Strong tells you that it means, you look up Lord, it means the Father, Yahweh. But yeah, he has half of the truth there, but Baal is Lord. Lord is Baal, so we don't want to use that word Lord unless we're referring to somebody in a derogatory fashion. "Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and priests, let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal," and they proclaimed it. Here they are, worshipping the goddesses and gods of the pantheon, the universe. And they proclaimed it. Jehu sent through all Israel. All the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left. They didn't come. Okay. And verse 25, "It came to pass, as soon as they had made an end of offering the burnt offering," and then verse 26, "and they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal, and they burned them, and they break down the image of Baal, and break down the house of Baal," or in today's English, I'll use the, "and they broke down," past tense, "they broke down the image of Baal, and broke down the house of Baal, and made it a draft house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel." You should come to the United States of America and destroy Baal, and to the Western world, destroy Baal and bring down those heathen idols and their altars. Verse 31, from Yahweh's word, "Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin." In those days, Yahweh began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them and all the coasts of Israel, and all the reaches of the land of Israel. from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, the Reubenites, the Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did, and might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel? Jehu slept, or died. The word slept is used interchangeably. It means died. So Jehu died with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. End of chapter 2 Kings 10. 2 Kings 11. So when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, or sleeping, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal, all the royal seed. And Jehozabah, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of Yahweh, 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So, good for Jehoshaphat. And then, a Sabbath day, let's see. Okay. And then, verse 9, and the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada, the priest, commanded, that they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them, that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the captains over the hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of Yahweh. And the guards stood every man with his weapons in his hand around about the king. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, Yahweh save the king. Or here in the King James, G-O-D. So Elohim, or Mighty One, or Sovereign One. The Sovereign One, save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people under the temple of Yahweh. When she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason! But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followed her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of Yahweh. And verse 20, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began, to reign. That's the end of that chapter. 2 Kings 12 just talks about trespass money and sin money. Oh, excuse me. And the reign of Jehoahaz, Amaziah's good reign. Then we'll go to chapter 2 Kings 14. Also, there was the repairing of the temple there in the previous chapter. 2 Kings 14, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah. Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Yehuda. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. Yet not like David his father, he did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. That's, a mixture there. He served Yahweh with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? No, with most of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He was double-minded. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. So we're talking here about Amaziah. So he was a good king, yet he did that which is right, but the high places were not taken away. So, no, we're not going to judge him. Will he be in heaven? Will he be in New Jerusalem in the thousand-year millennium? Well, I don't know. I can't judge Amaziah. And by the way, if you don't remember his name, just remember where it is, 2 Kings 14 and the following chapters. Okay. So now we go to chapter 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. Now, I don't know if how important it is to remember accurately these names. I'm getting confused already. I'm forgetting who the other ones were. Of course, I've got an old, old mind that doesn't remember stuff sometimes, that technical. And it won't relate to my salvation or to my spiritual growth anyway. But, well, maybe it will if I just grow in knowing the word. But so that could be argued there. But I'm not going to deliberate my sanity or my mental acuity right now. 2 Kings 15:2, 16 years old was he. And who is it again? In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah. So Azariah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, or 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. I see how the King James and other translators and other people there tried to hide Yah in that name there, Jecoliah. So there's a woman's name. That'd be a good woman's name to have, Jecoliah. Hey, yuck, how's it going? Yuck. And he did that which was right. So there's another one. If you look at the American presidents, there were some good ones, perhaps. They were mostly good anyway, but there were mostly bad ones. I don't know about the ratio there, but I know in the scriptures here it looked like about 3 out of 4 of these Hebrew kings were evil. But here we have 2 in a row now that were good. He did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places, and Yahweh smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, in several houses, I guess. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles, king of Yehuda? So in most Bible or scriptures, that would be in the next section there in the Chronicles. So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Jotham, J-O-T-H-A-M in English. Also see in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26, well, you'll see this person here, Jotham, reigning instead. And then it tells, you know, whether he was a good or bad one, is you good or bad king. Chapter 16. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Yehuda, began to reign. He was 20 years old, was Ahaz, when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem and did that which was right. 3 in a row there. He did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. And, well, I don't know if it was 3 in a row, but anyway, this is the next significant king here, president or premier or whatever you want to call him, who reigned. And the king of Yehuda here, Jotham, king of Yehuda, as opposed to the king of Israel. And he did that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, like David his father, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. So they were mostly poor or not very good. They were evil. Had, people would say, well, he had a good heart. But, well, that's just according to how we would reason and esteem or evaluate a person. Well, he had a good heart, but if you really looked at his makeup or his total personality as a person, he wasn't really that, you know, it doesn't really measure up to what the word of Yahweh says that we should be, that the scriptures say that we should walk in the Torah of Yahweh in every way that we can. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we're failures in that area. Sometimes we transgress Yahweh's law. But if we don't do it deliberately, we have accidentally or ignorantly or negligently have not walked in Yahweh's law, then that's not the same as deliberately disobeying Yahweh's law. If we have already known what the commandments, statutes, judgments, and testimonies tell us to do, then if we don't know that, okay, well then you can follow the reasoning out there, okay? I think my mind kind of staggered off into into outer space there. 2 Kings chapter 16, sorry about that. I think I need a nurse to pat me on the head. Chapter 16, verse 3, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That wasn't a good thing. Yes, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. Well, that's not keeping Yahweh's covenant. That's not loving Yahweh by causing our children to pass through the fire. And these days, it's called abortion. Also, he sacrificed. Who is this again? Yotham? Or is this, well, whatever. It's Ahaz here, A-H-A-Z. He sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Now, there's intrinsically, a green tree is not an evil thing, but in this case, it was apparently in an idolatrous grove. So these trees here are not good, even though they're probably evergreen. Rezin, king of Syria, that's R-E-Z-I-N, Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. So these are quite a story, quite hard-knock lessons found in scriptures, and we're probably not going to get to the end of Kings here in this podcast on Yahweh, but I'd like to cover at least the next chapter here. The next chapter is 2 Kings chapter 17. It's 41 verses long as we skim over some of these here. But in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hosea, or H-O-S-H-E-A. So Hosea, Yah, make sure we emphasize the Yah, the father's name there, as the root of our names. And the son of Elah to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hosea became his servant and gave him presents. The king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hosea, for he had sent messengers to king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Yes, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Don't worry about that. People were content after they saw that the American President Obama had not locked up all the Christians and Jews and Jehovah's Witnesses into internment camps immediately, nor had Hillary Clinton done that, even in the second administration of Mr. Obama there. And so they began to get lethargic and not so worried after all. It didn't look like Obama and Hillary were going to lock them up in internment camps, so they're not too worried that judgment was going to immediately fall on them. So they could relax. The Christians in America can relax and just don't worry about any real keeping keeping, towing it, well, excuse me, towing the line there with Yahweh. No, they think that, Jesus came to set us free from the law, and we can just celebrate the Christian holidays, the Christ Mass, Mass which means the re-sacrifice of the Messiah, or in their terminology, they would be re-sacrificing Jesus Christ. So they'd be re-sacrificing Yahushua the Messiah, more accurately, and putting him to death once again. Hebrews tells us, you don't do that. Chapters 7, 8, and 9 of Hebrews in the New Testament. And I don't know if I could elucidate, go any further in that, but now let's get back to Kings here. You want to get off onto, that was a good tangent, but we're doing Kings today. We're not doing the salvation message that we need to repent from our sins. We need to trust in Messiah, not on our own works, any kind of works, even Torah keeping. No, we need to trust in Messiah, Yahushua, for the forgiveness of our sins, helping us to repent by the power of the Spirit, and having the resurrection power of Yahushua HaMashiach in our lives and our heart. The resurrection power, do you have it today, brother? Hey, sister, you've got the power of the Father, Yahweh, in your life, in your mind, in your heart, soul, and mind and strength. It's all there. So, verse 4, and the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hosea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no presents. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land. And 6, in the ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, and carried away Israel away into Assyria, and placed them in Halah and in Haber by the river of Gozan and the cities of Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh, their mighty one, which had brought them up out of the land of Mitzrayim from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and had feared Elohim, and feared other Elohim, and walked in the statutes. Yes, like the Jews walking in the statutes, the Jews who observed the Talmud, but not the Torah. They observed the oral traditions. The Catholic Church has many traditions that are actually written down. They observe man-made traditions. Christians observe man-made traditions. Even Messianics are observing some of those too, aren't we? Huh? Not good. Messianics is what they should be. They walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel, all the kings of Israel, which they had made. Also see verse 19. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against Yahweh, their mighty one, and they built up high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom Yahweh carried away before him, and wrought wicked things to provoke Yahweh to anger. For they served idols, whereof Yahweh had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. And someone may say, well, we don't do this. We don't go under a green tree and have these ash roves and groves and idolatrous places. Well, maybe we do. I get the word, splice out the word maybe there. We do these things unknowingly, ignorantly, beside ourselves, in our own little innocent wisdom. Yes, our man-made understandings that we are not following Yahweh's law, though. We're not reading the word accurately. We're just, well, we're reading it, but we're not studying it. We're not letting it seep down and the Spirit rotting his righteousness in us sometimes. Sometimes it's just because you're too tired, you're too busy. You're not having all your needs met. Yes, I know. You're in a bad spot there. Yes, between a rock and a hard place. Sorry about that. Huh? Well, things might get worse before they get better, but be assured that they will get better. Oh, praise Yahweh for that. Praise Yahweh. He's gonna shape your life. He's gonna encourage you. Where is that encouragement? Come on. It's soon. Just keep persevering there. Yahweh's coming. He's coming quickly. And his son and his sword is in his hand, thoroughly purging his threshing floor, as I quote there from the first chapter or two of the gospel. Yet Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from every evil way, or turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments. Well, the Adventist says, well, I keep the commandments. I keep the Ten Commandments. To the contrary, if you want to be honest and take a little hard work and time, you'll find out that you're following a woman, and you're following a woman who made some good instruction, and she made some not so good instruction. Okay, we follow men and we follow women. Yeah. Turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks. So we need to be circumcised, don't we, in the heart and in the mind and even in the body. They hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and they did not believe in Yahweh their mighty one. They rejected. What did they reject? Now, oh, they rejected the church laws, so they didn't wear long sleeve shirts. Well, they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them, and they followed every vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom Yahweh had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of Yahweh their mighty one and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove. Now, you haven't done that. I haven't done it, but you and I have both done things that were symbolically or spiritually speaking much worse than making a mere clay or earthen calf. We've done worse than that. Well, Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, you know, that's a Catholic prayer. Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, to thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve, to thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. See, that was a Catholic prayer that I used to recite religiously as an altar boy, trusting in Mary for my salvation. It says, turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. Now Miriam, who is lying in the grave, who's not ahead of David, the patriarch, Acts chapter 2, his grave is still with us and his sepulcher, and it says he's dead, he sleeps. Why is David sleeping? He's supposed to be up there in heaven, isn't he? At the right hand of the... Then thou most gracious advocate, turn thine eyes of mercy toward us, and then after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Now, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. No, once she had a child, once she birthed Messiah from her womb, she was no longer a virgin, the hymen broke. Those who are not medically inclined, that's the token of her virginity was broken. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And then there's the Mother of Perpetual Help, who says, intercede for us, dear Mother of Perpetual Help, in obtaining pardon for our sins, love for Jesus, final perseverance, and the grace always to call upon you, Mother of Perpetual Help. Amen. They're calling on Amen there, the Amen. That's a kind of a mixture there. They're praying to people who have passed away. So I don't want to get on that too much. And Catholics, please forgive me. I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on your doctrines and what your leaders gave us during the Dark Ages. And I should actually get back to the study here, but that was part of it, to show you that, yes, we do get into idolatry. And there's a lot of other examples that I could give, but I better not. I've started enough now. So verse 17, they caused their sons and their daughters, abortion, here we go, to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. Therefore, Yahweh was very angry with Israel That's all right for him to get angry. He is the mighty one. He removed them out of his sight. There is none left out of the tribe of Yehuda only. But the tribe of Yehuda only. Also, Yehuda kept not the commandments of Yahweh, their mighty one, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. Go back to verse 8 there. Verse 8 said, and they walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before them. So they walked after Elohim there. Get back to 19 now. And they walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. They walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. Yahweh made statutes. He gave statutes in the Torah, in Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of Yahweh, their mighty one, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made, and they rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and they delivered them into the hand of the spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. Jeroboam drave Israel from following Yahweh, and made them sin, a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until Yahweh removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And then that's verse 23. 27 says that the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the mighty one of the land, the king of Assyria. Oh, praise Yahweh for the king of Assyria there in 2 Kings 17. And let them teach them the manner of the mighty one. The God of their land means their Elohim. Maybe not. I keep reading here. I can't remember now what I read. One of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear Yahweh. Okay. All right, that's good. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their Elohims of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt, and the men of Babylon made Sukkot, Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima. That's with an A in this version here, Ashima. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire. There's a form of abortion there. They burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anemelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. Oh, anyway, I get my eye tooth tangled here, my tongue tangled. So they feared Yahweh and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests at the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Yahweh. Oh, good. And serve their own Elohim. Human nature there, isn't it? So they feared Yahweh and served their own Elohim. Yeah, we've had our Cadillac in the refrigerator there for a couple of months until we thought, no, that's bad. We're not supposed to be, affectionate about a car. But a car could be an idol, but also an idol could be an idol. You know, a Buddhist statue or a statue of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph could be idols. Even the Jesus, Isis god there, or goddess, well, might be getting you confused. You don't know if you haven't been on the same page and heard all the other information here and researched it on your own or researched our information. You don't know. They feared Yahweh and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Also see, what is this? Numbers 25. Unto this day they do after the former manners. Well, this is like it was written in the year 2015. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they do after the statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandments which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom Yahweh had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, You shall not fear other Elohim, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, or sacrifice to them. But Yahweh, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, for lack of a better word, and to him shall you do sacrifice, for lack of another word. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear Elohim. And the covenant, or it says here, other gods, and the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other Elohim. But Yahweh, your sovereign, your Elohim, you know, the Elohim, I guess, have to study up on that word there. It may not all be good, but Yahweh, your mighty one, you shall fear and you shall deliver you. He shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. And they say, we want peace. We don't want any more war. That's what the liberals tell us, but yes, they need to repent from their own sins, and then they won't incur war in their land of United States of America. How about they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner? I've done that. I've done after my former manner. Sometimes it wasn't so good. So these nations feared Yahweh and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. 2 Kings chapter 17. On Yahweh.name, be with us as we continue in this overview of the books of Kings. We just finished 2 Kings 17 there, but we want to go on and go up to chapter 25 to the end, maybe some other day, and hope you enjoy it. Let us know if it's of a benefit to you. We're going to be reading in the future about 2 Kings 22, about Josiah, who was 8 years old, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So we're going to be telling about him there and having a little outline of this, and talking about the covenant. Wait a minute now, I can't quit. Here, 2 Kings 23, we're an hour and a half or so, or probably less. But we'd like to hear a song or two, perhaps, if there's time. 2 Kings 23, verse 3, and the king. Now that's Josiah. The king stood up by a pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul. No, we're under law. We're under grace, not law. Well, you've got it. You got part of it. We need to walk in the Spirit to keep Yahweh's law as he keeps us. He keeps us, and he doesn't want to lose us. But if we want to rebel, then we will not be keeping his commandments, testimonies, and statutes. Now, at least not with all our heart. We might be following some human leader with all our heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let Stephaniah, let all of our listeners and podcasters abide by the book of Yahweh, and as much as possible to ignore the things of our immediate surroundings and our environment. Let's ignore some of that sometimes. Let's just walk in the Spirit, have a little lilt in our step from time to time. Have a song in our spirits and our souls, and let's just thank him for all that Yahweh, the Father, Yahusha, his Son, has done for us, especially giving us the gift of eternal life through the Son, Yahusha. And then all that is about us, all that is in the world, there's a lot of terrible things that we've goofed up, but originally it was all wonderful, and it's coming back. All that beautiful, rejuvenated, renewed earth is coming back, and the new covenant will be walking in all of his commandments, statutes, and judgments. We'll be around the throne room. We'll be keeping the feast of Sukkot every year, at least during the millennium. So this is one of the last places of mention is about the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, to be found in the so-called minor prophets, and one of them is Zechariah, yes, verse chapter 14, and we're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, and it shall be that that whosoever will not come up for all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Whether that's spiritual or what. And if the family of Egypt go not up, in other words, those who call themselves Gentiles, go not up and come not, that have no rain. They shall have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen. Or that Hebrew word means Gentile. He will smite the Gentile that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the Hebrew word 1471. Yes, 1471. So that's one of the last places of mention. F-P-O-M. Last place of mention. I got that right. Zechariah 14. Zechariah, and also Isaiah 66, from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, not from the Feast of Trumpets to another, it says from one new moon, one Kodesh to another, and one Sabbath to another, one Shabbat to another, shall all flesh come up to worship Yahweh, or to praise Yahweh, King of Kings, Sovereign of Sovereigns. Oh, until He comes, may we make ourselves ready and have our lamps lit and full of spiritual oil given to us by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. And may He continue to bless you as you bless Him and bless others, keeping the first four commandments and the last six commandments and all the statutes and judgments that apply to you. If you're a woman, then you're not going to keep the ones that exclusively apply to men, and vice versa. The men are not going to wear grass skirts. They're going to wear their tallit, their tzitzi. In fact, the women can wear that. The tzitzi, too, should be for all the children of Israel. Keep His commandments. Have that love in your heart. He's given you that love. He's given you that ability, that potential to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, shalom to you, and we'll meet again until we meet again. May you always walk in His word. And I got a little word here for you somewhere. Let's see here. May each day in the month be a good day. May you make friends with each one you meet. And may all of your daydreams be memories. And may all your memories be sweet. The weeks turn to months, and the months turn to years. There will be sadness and joy. There will be laughter and tears. But one thing I pray to Yahweh above, may each of your days be a day